This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good yawning this morning. Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is June the 22nd, a Wednesday, 2022. And on the clock, we have organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Y'all forgive me, something came over me when I read the date this morning, Wednesday, the 22nd of June, 2022. That just seems like an important date. I don't know why. Yesterday, we missed the summer solstice. Is that what it is? It's the summer equinox. Anyway, it was hot. It was hot enough for our governments and civil society to begin campaigns reminding people of the measures that they need to take to stay safe in this summer heat. It is a priority. And the same way, if you pick up the Nassau Guardian, if you picked it up already this week, you continue to pick it up this week, there is the 2022 Hurricane Supplement in the paper. In the same way, we should have supplements and paraphernalia and public discourse and digital materials published telling people, helping people prepare for the intense heat that we will be experiencing this summer. I'd also like to note that I don't see the word tornado in the paper this morning. I haven't read every single word. But I'm expecting frequent, consistent, and I guess frequent is the word, but public communications about the increase in tornadic activity and what it means. I am hoping to see conversations emanating from the insurance industry helping customers and non-customers alike prepare not just the hurricane season, but the increase in tornadic activity or tornadoes and water spouts. We need to know, homeowners need to know if they have to buy special insurance policies to protect their homes or to get compensation for damage caused by tornadoes. We have to have these conversations. Don't make it like the conversation about turning left on red. Don't make it like that conversation, because that is a non-conversation. So today we're going to be talking about a couple of things. I want to talk about BPL. Yesterday there were a number of articles in the paper. Recent power outages due to bad weather in the Nassau Guardian. The public is reminded that BPL, that's just a statement from that article. Recent power outages due to bad weather. Union boss warns tough summer ahead. In today's business section from the Guardian, there's also another article there that I want to talk about. Because this is one of the only conversations I see attempting to prepare us for the summer and hurricane season. And the only thing I think they could be doing is preparing us psychologically, right? Helping us to prepare psychologically for what we are to expect. I'll tell you some of the other things I want to talk about this morning. But if you think there's something that I didn't include on my list that we should be talking about today, you let me know. You can text me at 422-4796. That's 422-GR96, and that's powered by BTC. Or you could call us at 323-623-325-4316 or 325-4259. All right, so I've got to start the show by saying good morning to Trudy Fuchs. I hope I got the name correct. Trudy is a number one fan, not just of my show, but of the entire Guardian platform. She says good morning to Mr. Strawn. Good morning to Miss Green. Good morning to the host of Guardian Radio AM, Mr. Newry. Good morning to Mr. McCartney, to Mr. Lang, and to Naughty, Naughty by Nature. She's tuned in straight through today, number one fan. I also got to say good morning to the woman who sells papers in front of Bamboo Shack on Nassau Street. We miss you. We haven't seen you in a couple of days. Well, we hope everything is okay, and we miss the sunshine that you add to our morning every time we're coming to the station. I also want to send a small note. I want to say congratulations to First Lieutenant Giovanni Springer. She is a member of the Indiana National Guard. She is Bahamian by blood and at heart, and is the daughter of Joe Knowles. I want to say congratulations to First Lieutenant Giovanni Springer. She was recently appointed aide-de-camp to General Brigadier General Dale Lyle in the Indiana National Guard. This is a big deal, right? This is a very big deal, this position. But more than that, Mrs. Springer is the first woman to have the position, the first person of color to have the position, and she's the first airman to hold the position. And we say congratulations to her on her achievement, and congratulations to her parents, you know, for supporting her and creating an environment and an example for her to follow as she excel, as we say, on these roads. But in this life, this is just awesome. It's awesome. Congratulations all around. All around. I say happy birthday to Christian Campbell. Christian Campbell is, I think, QC graduate. He's a Rhodes Scholar, scholarship recipient. But more importantly, Christian Campbell is he is an extraordinary poet, writer, critical thinker, political and cultural advocate, and gave a brilliant, brilliant speech at UB with COB years ago. I can't remember the name of it, but it was brilliant speech where he, while he was watching the Golden Girls win that race, he was reflecting on his experience of reading the Black Jacobins and the first time the West Indies beat the British. And he just pulled together this awesome essay and speech this boy is younger than me, and he just inspired me to continue in my political and social advocacy with that speech. Happy birthday to you, our brethren, Christian Campbell. All right, I got a couple of notes before we get into the BEC story. Let's start with traffic. I'm not sure what happened. I haven't seen any police reports, and maybe I didn't delve cover to cover in the paper this morning, but something happened on Paradise Island last night. And it seems to be of a vehicular nature. And I haven't seen enough evidence or any official releases from the police, from the Ministry of National Security, from the Ministry of Transport, from Royal Bahamas Police Force, Traffic Division. Haven't seen any official statements. But if anybody knows what happened on Paradise Island last night, please text me. Text, don't call. text at 422-GR96, 422-4796. I know I ask this question all the time. I'm going to continue to ask it. Why are large commercial vehicles still turning left on red at blind intersections? And why are commercial vehicles turning right on red at all? And I mean large commercial vehicles. Why are you doing that? And why do you think you could get away with it? This is the part that gets me. I was pleasantly surprised to see that your vehicle was clearly marked with your plates. But why do you think you could get away with things like that? Vehicle, as you turn to enter the port. The port, the center of commerce in the country. And I got another question. Who regulates, monitors, and enforces traffic controls in the staging area for the port? Who is responsible for that? Who is responsible for re-erecting the stop signs? Like, I want to ask this question. Who took down the stop signs at the entrance to the staging area for the port, where large commercial vehicles traverse regularly? Why don't you have a member of staff assigned to direct the large vehicles as they're trying to park in their poorly constructed and designed staging area? Who is responsible for that? Who is responsible for ensuring that large vehicles are not blocking the entrance to the port for regular vehicles because they could just do whatever they want? Now, I've become aware that the port is responsible for enforcing traffic controls on the port. But outside of the port, that's the Royal Bahamas Police Force. And to think, the solution to the traffic and driving crisis that we're experiencing right now sits right in front of us at the staging area in front of the port. Because if you cause the commercial, corporate, and professional drivers to acknowledge and maintain a professional standard of driving, then you can bring everybody else will fall into line. Because you shouldn't be able to get a license to operate a driving school unless you are qualified to teach people how to drive all of the vehicles they may encounter on the road, unless it is a specialized industrial vehicle. If you don't care about people's lives, do you care about the amount of money that you will potentially risk losing due to malfeasance, incompetence, and recklessness in this area? I mean, or you could just run the place like a tuck shop. Run it like a petty shop then. But then reduce your salary to tuck shop and petty shop pay. Got a text here that says, great show as usual. Insurance companies don't want to pay for car accidents. You think they want to pay for tornado damage. Then people ain't save. Text says, Miss Green, I have a bone to pick with you. How come you ain't tell us the flea market and Opa-locka closed? Buddy, I don't even know where Opa-locka is. How I could tell you that? Producer, let's go to that call. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Listen, Bremen, if they lock me up for Obey, if they charge me for Obey, you know I'm taking you with me because you tell the secret.
That would be the right thing to do.
Yes, sir. Good, good. How you doing?
We need justice, law, and order in this country.
Yes, sir.
But what I want to say, right, to those students who deal with the solar system, right, I want them to know, especially the ones what I've taught over at Street Reach Bahamas, right, that yesterday was the brightest day of the year. You would not see that day as bright as it war on yesterday until next year, God's willing.
Yes.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Brayman. And see, look here. And we can talk about that. Thank you. Look here, Brayman. That's so insightful, right? Because when we get into our BPLBEC discussion, right, we have an article here. The union boss warns tough summer ahead. And at the end of the article, I got it right here somewhere. At the end of the article, it says that they are exploring solar and hydrogen next, right? But like all things, you have to understand the culture surrounding the thing to be able to operate or understand the thing fully. How are you going to be entering a solar industry and you don't know that June 21st is going to be your best day for collecting solar? If you ain't collecting sunshine on that day, then what you doing with the rest of your life? And if you're serious about creating a culture of appreciation for solar that extends beyond any economic benefit it may render, then these are the sorts of things that you have to entrench in your culture. See, indigenous cultures, they lived with nature. They didn't fight nature. They fought to understand nature so that they could maximize what was available, maximize the benefit or access to what was available to them. So in the same way, if we're serious about shifting to solar power as a secondary or primary means of power generation, then we also have to be doing the work of building a culture of appreciation for this aspect of the industry. And that's absolutely important. See, I can go back to this story. Yes, we're talking about traffic. Text the police call back. I'm sorry. Well, look at how you just called right back. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Morning, Aaron. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you doing?
Awesome, awesome. I just got two very thought-provoking questions to ask. First and foremost, after all these years, why are these heavy-duty industrial vehicles still on the road during normal working hours? What are the early hours when these 18-wheelers should be carrying merchandise and goods to the various business places? What about the construction vehicles, the tractors that need to go to a construction site? Why are they on the road during normal working hours?
Listen.
These are things that I thought that, we've been discussing this thing over and over and over again for quite some time, but yet it seems as if there's no amendments, there's no changes in the law or encouraging these persons to actually put these vehicles on during the early work morning hours, and nobody's on the streets, which I think would be even more safer for them to do.
Right. Listen, absolutely. And this is a part of, I'm so glad I jumped right into you. This is a part of it. How is it that we could talk about we are professional drivers, we are professional heavy equipment operators, and we have not created the culture, the companion culture necessary to make that industry work in this space? How is it that you delivering bread to a store at 8 a.m.? The people done send their children to school without sandwich because wasn't no bread in the shop.
But Aaron, you're absolutely correct even on that, because I mean, I would have thought that the persons who operate these companies would have been agitating the government to make these changes. If they are so inclined and they feel that for them to actually move this equipment during the early morning hours, which means that obviously even at the container port, you have personnel still at the port guarding the place 24/7.
Right.
Persons already there. Does it mean now that because the food stores perhaps, and I'm just using them for an example, it means that personnel will have to be to the food store to be there to collect the merchandise before the opening hours?
Yes.
They're losing money from that end? Man, come on, man. We're trying to create a 22nd century Bahamas here. We have to now begin to change a whole lot of these concepts, because we see that these concepts work other places, in other jurisdictions, and nobody's even trying to apply it here. Mm-hmm. But we know that this can work here. You know, nobody's happening on the roads and during the early working hours and morning hours. Let's get these trucks on the road and let them deliver the merchandise and goods.
Hold on, not just that. Why am I paying to repair roads that are being overworked by vehicles that shouldn't be on them? You should be taking the money to repair these roads from the companies that are making a profit from driving on the road in the daytime when the sun is 175 degrees and the asphalt is melting. Why would you have a 5-ton vehicle on the road at that hour of the day? And if a company tells me, oh, it's because it's unsafe to move goods at 2 in the morning, 4 in the morning, because the robbers are there, dear company, petition the Royal Bahamas Police Force or go to the Chamber of Commerce and sit with the Chamber of Commerce and start a new committee about crime and safety to ensure that businesses can operate effectively throughout the 24-hour period with the assistance and protection of the police.
Well, you're absolutely correct on that. I can't add anything or take anything away from that, Erin, but these are just some of the thoughts we, the average, ordinary Bahamian citizen out here have. And I'm pretty sure that if the organizers for these, for these companies, if they haven't tried, or the government has not found fit to even try to institute these things, now they're hearing the voices of the average, ordinary Bahamian that there are some things that need to be done. Thanks for taking my call this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you for calling and sharing. This is a part of it, right? Like, is there a full system in place? And the truth is you should have... See, I like the Office of the Prime Minister, you know, because in the Office of the Prime Minister, you could have units, and these units get funded and they get attention because, the Office of the Prime Minister is committed to the ideas of the Prime Minister. But listen... The people providing oversight, right, for these industries, the people who are supposed to be enforcing regulations for these industries are supposed to be on the cutting edge of these industries in terms of their critical thinking. You're not waiting for the business to tell you what it's doing so you could figure out how to regulate that thing that they're doing. You are continually interrogating the industry to understand the potentials, the possibilities that may arise in your jurisdiction, and begin to prepare both resource-wise and like legislatively and policy-wise for the introduction of these new aspects of the industry, or to ban, to deny, right? To say, no, we are not prepared. That while you, one, may be able to do that or may have the capacity to handle all of the waste or byproducts generated from whatever it is you're doing, you are one operator out of 1,000. And so we cannot permit that. Or you could just say, listen, the state does not have the resources to carry out the oversight necessary for the safe operation of an industry or a service like this. And so at this time, we're going to have to deny it. Right? Like, because we like to look at people and tell them, don't play with us because we are professionals. We're world class and we don't have to be in the Bahamas. Right? But at some point, we should be able to see that through the way that you operate. And if you're saying to me, look here, I'm just a lowly civil servant, or I'm just one person in a larger system, I can't control these dynamics, I feel you. That's valid. We talked about that yesterday and the day before. But what you could do is you could be encouraging your specific space or the environment or the industry generally to begin publishing journals so professionals and experts can begin documenting what it is they know. And we could stop relying on information filtered through the government and special interest groups. You get to prove that you're the professional. All right, producer, let's go to this call, and then we're going to get to these texts. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. Good, thank you. How are you doing?
You know, I would like to say something in defense of the bakeries in regards to the bread. A person who worked to purity at least for 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
There's a pattern that I know that they do, but I can tell you one thing has hampered that pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Because of our situation in the country now, people who are fighting to keep their jobs, and because of the traffic, people are leaving home earlier. The bus drivers and the bread delivery drivers, Bahamas Bakery and Purity Bakery, they leave very early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
They don't only go to the major food stores.
They hit all
they
the stores.
They also go to all the little convenience stores through the corners.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Okay.
So now they're leaving out early in the morning also, but you have more traffic on the road early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
One time ago, people leaving home 8 o'clock and stuff like that to go to work. Now they're leaving home 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And though they're in the way of the truck drivers getting the bread there.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, my old boss, Jeff Albee, told me one time ago, he said, let me show you something about the bread, about the business, and why they make so much money. The poorer people get, the more bread they eat. Because when they can't afford steak and lobster no more, they can afford to make a peanut butter sandwich.
Yeah.
So now they're taking more bread. If you notice, in the evening, you can hardly see bread on the shelves. In the evening when you go to the store, but you could see it there in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
That's because people are eating more bread. Their salary is stretching, that the children got to learn how to eat salad, cheese sandwich, tomato sandwich, whatever they bread selling now.
I got you.
See? Other than that, but the last thing I'd like to say, I was watching with discontent video, what's up, on TV, where we have the military standing and blocking Bahamian citizens now for going into the pine forest and in the shanty towns, right?
Uh-huh.
If you could stand at the beginning of the shanty town and the pine forest to stop people, Bahamians, from going in there, can't you also put a stop there at the entrance when the illegal people, the immigrants, are going home in the evening and coming out in the morning?
Now,
can't you have immigration officer check it? Do you have
like, Sparky, that's a good point, you know. Hold on. That's a good point, Sparky. If you can mount an operation, then you can mount a 24-hour security operation as well. But when you say illegal, in the context of this discussion, don't just talk about illegal migrants. Talk about any illegal access to the property. Because anybody going on the property without permission is illegal. That's like if I own a piece of property and the prime minister won't come to my house or come on my property and I tell him, no, sir. It's illegal for him to enter my property. Now you could get pinched. All my grammies and aunties and tinga ask, how you could tell the prime minister he can't come in your yard? How you could tell him that? That's the prime minister. But I could do it. Right? Let's be careful how we throw those words around there. But that's an excellent point that you make. That's an excellent point that you make. And I want to make this point. Anybody could do it. Don't just have to be the government. Those people who say they concern themselves sufficiently to cause other people to potentially get locked up for no good reason, they could do that too instead of potentially causing people to get locked up for no good reason. Thank you very much, Sparky. Thank you very much, Sparky. Okay, I got a text here. Aaron, there is nothing wrong with big trucks driving through the day. They just need to be respectful and responsible. Get out of your fantasy world. Grow up, Aaron. Dear texter, I want the Bahamas to grow up. I want the people whose economic models rest in antiquated and backward systems to grow up, to be brave, and to understand that the entire country has to grow up, including them. I just need you to know that there is something wrong with big 5-ton trucks driving on these streets at the peak of the heat in the day, where the asphalt is melting, on improperly paved roads, improperly constructed roads, improperly graded roads, roads with temporary cold patching in it, where they didn't even use the industrial tampering machine to level the road. These roads where potholes are not sealed properly, where the roads are patched days after flooding and massive rainstorms. It seems that we do need a committee at the Chamber of Commerce, specifically for commercial and corporate and professional drivers. And while, yes, there are many respectful and responsible drivers, I'm going to say good morning to Four Seasons Crane and Heavy Equipment Operators. I know them when I see them. I want to say good morning to Kino Wong and Omega Rentals. I know these drivers when I see them. I want to say good morning to the hardworking staff and drivers at Island Wholesale. I know these drivers when I see them. But for far too long, the taxpayer has been paying for the consequences of unregulated industries in this town. All right, caller, hold the line. I come in a second. Good day, Miss Green. Trust you are doing well. I may be off topic, but do you have any info about Clico? I've been trying since last year to find out to no avail. Can you assist? Can I assist? Boy, look here. I got Clico insurance too, for real. Me and you gonna dead together. Both of us shall transpire. I shall dig a hole for you, and I hope that you shall dig a hole for me. This is what the state thinks that we deserve in this town. Clico. I bet you the Clico file is somewhere with the Oban file drinking a margarita. Thank you, Texter. Thank you very much. Let's go to this. Producer, is that someone on the line? No? Okay. Sorry about that. Let's go to a break. And when we get back from the break, I even got more things in my notes before we get to the BBL story. But this summer could be long. We got time. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. We'll be right back.
We're not always able to see the storms in life approaching, but we can take the necessary steps to be prepared to ensure the safety of ourselves, our loved ones, and our property. This hurricane season, trust J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers. We'll be here to help you get back on track in your time of need. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock with Aaron Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning. Welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Remember, you can text us at 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. That's powered by BTC. You could call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4255. 9. Remember, you can download the Guardian Radio app for Apple or Android. You could watch the video feed or listen to the audio feed right there on the app. You can stream live audio and video on GuardianTalkRadio.com. You can catch the replays at GuardianTalkRadio.com in the evening. And you can go on YouTube and search the show name and the date for a replay as well. Ah, boy, I have so much to talk about. This Texas says, Ms. Green, I look into the future this summer. I predict 3 things will happen pertaining to BPL. 1, the power will be off. 2, the power will be off. And 3, the power will be off. Well, listen, it's a very interesting discussion that we need to follow. Let me start by saying this. After reading the article, Union Boss Warns Tough Summer Ahead, where the union chief says, this is a tough period. We are already experiencing outages. We are already having issues, and we haven't even really gotten started yet. So right now, I'm trying to relax the issues a bit. The more serious issues I try to table, but I'm trying to work hard just to make sure the Bahamian people have reliable power this summer. Mr. Wilson said he has temporarily somewhat laid down his sword as it relates to union issues to work along with BPL to get Bahamians through this period. And Mr. Wilson, I sent him a voice note begging him to come on the show. He sent me a voice note back saying, listen, I would love to, but I'm actually going to be working at BPL. You know, I'm scheduled to work, and so I cannot come in. But he asked me to reiterate that part of his statement. You can find it in the Union Boss Warns Tough Summer Ahead story in the Nassau Tribune yesterday, that the union is committing to putting its industrial grievances aside for the sake of ensuring that Bahamian people have power or can be restored as quickly as possible if any issues take place. Now, what I found interesting after reading all of the stories is that there seems to be a bit of a disconnect between what the CEO and the union boss is saying. But let me put that aside for right now because we're running short on time. What I want to talk about is the transmission and distribution system. But I got a caller on the line. Let's go to that caller, producer. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Good morning, caller.
How are you?
Oh, I'm good, thank you. How you do?
You know the union, the BC union, and board with the PSB government. So they ain't gonna rock no boat. You know, they just going along with it. So, but right, you know, miss. Mm-hmm. What I see, right, is that corporation, they mm-hmm. run the media, right, and the politicians run the media. So, you know, it's the same old Davey working within this country, you know, and it seems like only the I hate to say this, only the gay people in media have any respect for the media in this country, maybe because they have human rights issue themselves. So I don't know, but we need some media up in here that's gonna, and some unions up in here. At least the poor people, the needy people, they need unions themselves. Thank you.
Ah, did you hit the nail on the head? You provided the answer in your last statement. You don't notice each constituency in this group, each constituency is organizing. They're organizing. They're putting together their resources. They're forming associations and guilds and committees. They're actively lobbying the state and the powers that be to advantageously position themselves in the space that they're in or in the country generally. This is what they're actively doing, even if their job by its very nature precludes or is antithetical to that type of behavior. But it's happening. Good morning to the Bar Association. I don't know, y'all just popped into my mind. That just popped into my mind. Another text here. Oh, gosh, Ms. Green, don't say that about CLECO. I've been waiting patiently for them to finalize this. I surely can use the funds. Nonetheless, thank you. Thank you, texter. And so I make this note. It's a request. The texter's asked for any information about CLECO. If you work for the body representing CLECO or an associated body. If you work for the insurance industry, you could text the show or you could text me at 428-0719. Please direct me to any information that I can share with the audience about the affairs of CLECO, or a contact number or an email address or a website that we can direct people who want more information. Producer, when you get a chance, we go to that call. Thank you, Texas. I didn't mean to be so sort of glib with that. I'm not making fun because some people can't even afford insurance. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Raymond. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
I'm fine, man. Just show as you said. Let me tell you something. And that caller, he made a good point a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
You see, what many people don't understand, according to our great constitution, freedom of speech, freedom of movements, and freedom of association.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, everybody perform their group in this group. The real BMA people, we need to do the same thing and put pressures on the government. And all we need is Secretary Reno. You know, like I keep saying, the Moses who got this country messed right up. But I think come this next election, being have to deal with all them. And when I said the Moses coup, I talk about everybody who was 75 and over.
The three score and 10 gang.
Pardon me?
The three score and 10 gang.
Yeah.
They
need to get out of the way. Because right now, I'm paying them living on our time. They won't go home. They won't give the young people these jobs, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I think, see, anybody who got basic education, high school education, knows that young people pay in their national savings.
Mm-hmm.
You know how much money that we pay in retirees? We got eight governors, you understand, and then they get aid and be paid. But they want the money for to come from.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing in life is free.
Mm-hmm.
Taxes, they see taxes, they have to earn. Taxes got to come.
Yeah.
And time to take my call, sir.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, listen, when I leave this station, I need you all to know that I prepared for pinches. I am prepared for pinches. But some members of the 3 Score and 10 gang are out of control. And a culture has taken root in this town. And I think the caller highlighted parts of that culture, particularly those that are very dangerous. All right, I got a text here. CLECO swing, y'all, but that's just my 5 cents. Another text. Aaron, Mr. Chikchani has the CLECO file along with the Oban file, the sale of Batelco file, along with why Artec and Andrus is only paying the government $20 million file. I was even in Andrus looking for that file. The unicorn and UFO files. You say that is mythical, but somebody just landed a booster in the Bahamian waters, and it looked unidentified to me until I saw a press release. You know, just ask Mr. Chuck Charney nicely for these things. You may need to bribe him with tamarind juju or sugar apple. Things of real value. Things of real value. The political class, they appreciate them things. Don't mind that we are slowly and surely destroying the last bits of agriculture and agricultural culture in the Bahamas. Don't mind that. The rich people have fruit trees in their yard. Won't these be the same roads they have to drive on at early mornings and through the day? So what's the difference? The difference is the temperature of the roads. Given the nature of the way that we construct our roads, it's as simple as that. That's it. The difference is the temperature of the roads and the lack of traffic on the roads at those hours, facilitating swifter movement to and fro. That's the difference. That's it right there. Sometimes you see the divots in the road. Sometimes you just see these divots in the road. And I say, boy, that hard-heeled gal, she's been running a man down on this road. Dig that heel in. But that's not what it is. That's not what it is. Partially what it is sometimes when these big trailers, sometimes they don't lift and lock the stands, right? Like these things drop from the bottom of the chassis that carries the container to stabilize it. And sometimes those guys don't lift them, or the mechanisms are broken, or because of the shoddy nature of the construction of the road, these trucks are losing bolts everywhere. I have picked up enough bolts over the last 5 years to build a small home in a shanty town. See, the industry also doesn't require a third-party inspection of vehicles on a regular basis, or a record be kept of inspections for third-party assessment. So many times these trucks don't know when they've lost bolts, when their equipment is faulty. Sometimes they don't know that those support stands are hanging and hitting the road as they drive. Sometimes those trucks are driving with wheels. Some of the tires have been deflated or they burst, right? They've exploded. But because it's a double tire, sometimes the driver doesn't know or doesn't care because he's going to get the load to its destination and then worry about that. And all of that can be causing damage to the road that's exacerbated if they're traveling at the heat of the at the height of the heat of the day. Texter, thank you for taking that moment with me. And one of the things I want to talk about, I know we're all out of time. One of the things I wanted to talk about is this story in yesterday's Tribune entitled, this is the title of the story. Oh, sorry, it's in yesterday's Guardian on page A2. Long Island man accused of having sex with 11-year-old girl. Now, I know that I'm working for a company that's a part of the Guardian family. I just need to ask, who thinks that somebody that you would call a man was just having sex with an 11-year-old girl? He was accused of raping a minor. That's what it is, and that's what we need to call it. Because if we call it something different, then we believe it's something different. And if we call it something different, our children will begin to believe it's something different, and then will begin to believe that technically it ain't really that wrong, hey? But if you had said Long Island man accused, that's also very important. That's also very important, accused of raping 11-year-old girl. To say having sex with suggests that somehow she was a willing participant or didn't mind. Can we just call it what it is? Could we just call it rape, please? Because I have a feeling that that's what it is. That's what it is. Okay, I got 2 minutes before we end the show. I'm going to get back into this, most importantly, because I have these really nice notes with a whole bunch of questions that I want to ask out loud. But the union leader and the CEO acknowledge that while they're pretty much solved or have a plan for the concerns for the increase in demand, right, for electricity, as we hit the peak peak time of the year, the transmission and distribution systems still require attention. And I just want to throw this out here quickly. First of all, you live in the tropics. The grass is going to grow all the time. That's why it was completely ridiculous when we had the lockdown that no provisions were made for farmers, for people who tend plants and animals, or for fishermen, or for people who may have aquaculture projects in the ocean. These things don't stop growing because the law says you need to take a time out. And these things don't stop growing because it's just not expedient, right? Like, it's just a problem for my business. I don't need the grass to grow as quickly as it does. So I don't know what happened to BC's tree trimming department. I just know that they always had the best workers there. And I know that because they was always through my neighborhood, because the bush in my neighborhood is on steroids. But here's what I'm getting at. Whether you are the PLP government, whether you are a civil society actor, whether you're a member of the church, this is just a perfect, this is just employment opportunity after employment opportunity. BPL is going to need to figure out how to keep the trees trimmed, the verges clear, their lines clear all the time. The only way they can do what they say they want to do, they can achieve these things, if they have a 24/7, 12-month-a-year maintenance program. So whether you're going to prepare yourself now by creating a small company and training yourself and your staff to do this type of work, please don't send the Bay I Watch swinging the weed whacker into the air trying to catch the bush by the BTC line. Don't send him. Train the people. Start a small company. Get your staff member that is solely dedicated and committed to clerical and administrative work, making sure that all your licenses are in place, making sure that you fit all the regulations to qualify or to be in compliance to participate in these government programs. Make sure you're paying your NIB. Make sure your staff has the proper safety equipment. But this is an employment opportunity for plenty of people. Jump on it. Yeah, the music, guys, that means it's time to go. Thank you for your patience, producer. Thank you to the texters and the callers. We're going to get back to this BEC discussion because it's going to be a long, hot summer. To the woman who cleans the road every day in front of CIBC, opposite the 18 potholes, please stand on the sidewalk and clean the road from that position. For the love of God and your own safety. Think about it. Have a great day, Bahamas. You've been on the clock. Guardian Radio AM is up next with Cecil Newry. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.